right, welcome back to another edition of the Bibliotakes podcast. We are starting a new book today. Cody, as always, is with me. Cody, how you doing? How you feeling about this new book that we're starting?
I'm feeling real cold in Minnesota, my man, but thankfully for me, I got a tropical island in which to spend some time.
It really does heat you up. Just to get right into it, we are reading Lord of the Flies, novel by William Golding, originally published in 1954.
Yeah, this is a classic book, one of the original young adult kind of apocalypse fiction novels dealing with how do young people deal with extremely adult circumstances. And it stands the test of time just because of the way it is. For those of you who have not read it before, it is the story of 1950s, a plane full of British school children who we learn through the first couple of chapters are evacuating Britain because of the detonation of a nuclear bomb. The plane goes down under mysterious circumstances. All the adults on board are killed, and various age school boys are left to fend for themselves on what they find out is a tropical jungle island.
Yeah. And just to make sure everybody knows, so Cody, have you read this before?
I have read this before.
Okay. I have not. So we're in another one of these situations where I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know how this book missed me, but for whatever reason, I just never was required to read it in school. And so story's totally foreign to me. And it's a ton of fun. I mean, it's really intense, obviously, but it's a good read. It's really, it goes really fast. Tons happen right off the bat. So I'm excited to dive into this one.
This, coming off the heels of Gatsby, continues a kind of high school English class stretch of our podcasting. However, I think we've chosen a couple really just all-time classics in terms of young adult literature. Obviously, you can enjoy Gatsby at any age. Most people are introduced to it in high school, and this one is no different. The age in which you usually read this book, in which I did my junior year of high school, you're not far off from the age of these kids, even if you're much more mature being 4 or 5 years older than them. But the decisions that they have to face are pretty intense. And with that, why don't we just dive into it? You want to start us off?
Sure. So chapter one, titled The Sound of the Shell,
opens... I do like that Golding names the chapters. I think that's fun when a chapter is named.
Oh, I fuck with that too. Yeah. No, I love that.
Brings back to like Lord of the Rings. I love that.
Shortcut to mushrooms. But this chapter is called The Sound of the Shell. And we open with two boys. And it's important, as Cody mentioned, to just remember that these people are, in fact, boys. These two being right around the age of 12-ish, two boys walking through a jungle. One is described as being really fair, good looking, has the kind of build of what might end up being like an adult boxer, it's described as. His name is Ralph. And the other boy is described as being fat. He's asthmatic. He's got glasses, and he's really all about trying to talk to Ralph. And Ralph has not much use in discussing anything with this fat kid. So the two are walking through the jungle. Ralph is kind of like enjoying himself, it seems, whereas the other kid is like, dude, what are we going to do? Like, we just got marooned, totally lost on this island. There's no adults to speak of anywhere. We don't know how many of the other kids that were on the plane survived. What's going on? Ralph's like, yeah, you know, it's all good. I'm just going to get like naked and swim around and do all my other shit.
Just little boy behavior. And when it's important to note for all you listeners that when Paul is describing this kid as a little fat boy, he is using the generous description of him, the generous objective description, because as we learn, the fair boy's name is Ralph. And, you know, the fat boy asks him his name with kind of the hopes of engaging in conversation, because you ask someone your name, you learn their name, and then you expect them to say, what's your name? He doesn't get that. Ralph is completely disinterested in him. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, he's kind of keeps trying to prod on this line. He's like, well, I just want to make sure that people call me by my real name and not what they call me at school. And Ralph goes, what did they call you at school? And he goes, piggy. Well, bursts into laughter and is like, I'm going to call you Piggy. And he's like, no. I don't know if you just heard me, but I hate that name.
And I hate that name too. And I really feel really bad. I feel for this little kid. But the thing that the author doesn't do, what William Golding does not do, is he isn't like, yeah, people called him Piggy, but this is his actual name. We just don't know what it is as the reader. So going forward, we will be referring to this unfortunate soul as Piggy.
Understand that it's either that the two descriptions we've got is the objective neutral one of Fat Boy and the unfortunate bully nickname of Piggy. So it's really a pick your poison situation. We'll just go with Piggy. That's how everyone refers to him going forward. Getting a little bit ahead of our skis, but like Paul was saying, when Ralph is kind of just fucking around while Piggy's kind of worrying about the situation, it's not because the situation isn't really interesting. Golding describes the island as super beautiful. And whenever the children interact with it, there's this big sense of adventure. But as they go through, you kind of said that the island is objectively beautiful, but anytime they got to go anywhere, they have to deal with this really harsh kind of reality of the island of like thorns and brush and tangling webs of roots. And he makes note to mention how hot it is, how oppressively hot it is, and how it really affects the boys right away. They kind of, everyone's kind of feeling delirious.
Right. And at this point, like you said, Piggy's worried about dying on this island. And he's like,
super okay, fair.
We've got two problems. One, we could die here. Two, there's a bunch of other kids that are probably on this island and we don't know where they are. Ralph is like chilling, having a little swim in this lagoon. And he's like, look, don't worry about it. My dad's in the Navy. He's going to come and find us eventually. So let's just be psyched about the opportunity to live here without grown-up supervision. And Piggy's just kind of like, I mean, grown-ups have their uses, man, and we don't really know what the fuck we're doing here. So I don't know, like maybe be a little bit more worried about this.
Yeah, Ralph does not give a fuck. He's swimming. He's like, yeah, my dad's a commander in the Navy. He's gonna come get me. And Piggy kind of bursts his bubble where he's like, how the fuck does your dad know where we are, bro? And then Ralph's kind of like looks at him cross-eyed and is like, huh? And Piggy's like, yeah, man, it's bad right now. And then Piggy, little sad Piggy side story where he's like, yeah, my dad's dead. My mom is cuts off. Obviously, something unnamed and sad happened to her. I grew up with my aunt. She runs a candy store and I get a lot of candy. And the reader's like, yeah,
follows that tracks.
Yeah, tracks 100%. But anyway, as they kind of mentioned this, Piggy does end up kind of coming to the water. He can't swim because of his asthma. Poor guy. But as they're hanging out, Ralph finds this super enormous seashell. And Piggy mentions that it's a conch and you can use it to make loud noise and potentially call the children. And they're kind of fucking around with it. They don't really know how to use it. But then Ralph ends up absolutely nailing a super loud conch. And I don't know if you've ever you've like blown on one of these, right?
Yeah, it's like blowing
it loud.
They can. It's like blowing on a trumpet, kind of. Like if you know how to do it, you can really get them to wail. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. So they do this and this like random kid just like shows up and they're like, okay, it's working. This little boy's name is Johnny. And, you know, the younger boys, you know, they're pretty disjointed. Sometimes they have like fruit on their face. They obviously have been doing what kind of Ralph was doing, kind of making use of the island. There's a couple twins there's a pair of twins that show up. And then eventually a much larger group of older boys come. They're super organized. They come out marching. They're wearing choir robes. And there's this one tall boy described as an ugly redheaded, like bony, skinny dude. This guy's name is Jack Meridrew, and he is an absolute dick.
Yeah, he kind of asserts himself right away. I just want to go back really quick. And I love the fact that at first when they're blowing on this this shell, they make like farting noises with it. And they both think it's hilarious. like Ralph. I mean, Ralph and Piggy are like making farting noises with this. That I just love that because like there's constant reminders throughout this whole thing that these are indeed children.
Yes.
and I just love that. But going back to what you're saying, yes, Jack shows up with his posse of choir members. Couldn't be a more like or a less intimidating squad of people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, like, oh yeah.
Oh, who showed up? The Boy Scouts or like the JROTC? No, it's a choir. Like, they are in fact organized. They do come in lines. They're marching, like you said, and Jack is clearly their leader. And he's trying to just like run shit as soon as he shows up.
Yeah, he's like barking orders. Meanwhile, Piggy's like, hey, dude, we're just trying to learn everyone's name because we're the survivors of a plane crash. We're trying to like figure shit out. And it's important to call back to what we said earlier. Piggy was like, hey, I don't care what people call me. I just don't want to be called Piggy. And Jack Meritor's like, what's your name? And Ralph just throws him under the bus so bad and goes, his name's Piggy. And everyone's immediately like, his name's Piggy. And he's like, no.
Dude.
And they're like, nope. Name's Piggy forever, bro.
Here's my thing. If you are Piggy in this situation, just drop the name forever. You don't know anybody. Nobody knows you. Don't bring up the name Piggy and just bet that they're not going to come up with a worse name for you. What the fuck, dude?
I do feel bad for him.
Oh, I feel clearly, so bad.
He clearly brought that up to Ralph thinking there would be some empathy. No.
No.
bad choice, dude. No, Ralph, zero. It's hilarious. Anyway, so after Ralph totally screws over Piggy, Ralph says that, you know, we do need someone to make decisions. There are no adults here. We need a leader. Of course, Jack thinks he should lead because, you know, he's a dick. And his reasoning is also that he's good at singing. So yeah, he should be, he can hit like a high C or something. And it's like, yeah, I should be in charge of this island crew now.
Because he can hit like a C sharp, I think he said. Like, cool, man. Like, when has that ever been reason to give anybody any power?
Yeah, it's not. And Golding is like, look, if the kids had any brains, they'd see that Piggy is the smart one, but they don't. So they don't. Mm-hmm. And the one with the most just like kind of demanding authority is Jack. But Ralph is the one who's like quiet, good looking, and his kind of just like demeanor draws people to him. He's just got it. You know, he's just got that X factor for leadership. And when they hold a vote, everyone votes, or like the majority votes for Ralph to win. And so Ralph's now the chief of this island of marooned boys.
Right. Yeah. And that draw is both literal and figurative because, like you said, or seen, heard, and unseen or unheard. Because like Ralph, like you said, is quiet, kind of a like standoffish presence, but he draws people to himself in on the literal sense. He was the one with the shell that blew it. And so like him holding that shell when all these guys show up is just kind of like this symbol for leadership. Like, I'm the one who brought everyone to me. And so that gained a lot of votes for him with all these other boys that show up.
Yeah. And it's important to know that the oldest boys are the choir, but everyone else who came are younger than Ralph and Piggy. Piggy and Ralph are the kind of median age of everyone on this island now. And it's clear that Jack is unhappy about not being leader, and Ralph, kind of the natural leader, throws him a bone and is like, look, older boys, we're going to need stuff. Like, you'll be kind of like our hunters slash army random protectorate. They seem to really like that. And so you can already tell that making Ralph in charge is at least kind of a good idea.
Yeah, immediately. I mean, a great, great first decision as a leader to just be like, I'm going to delegate a large percentage of my responsibilities to this guy that feels like he got fucked over in the vote.
And some guy who clearly, if I don't throw him a bone and actually give him things to do, might make my life harder.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so those guys are hunters. They're pretty pumped. Basically, now we got at this point where Piggy is trying to be like, okay, now that we decide who's win, can we figure out like what we're going to do? Can we realize where we are? And everyone's like, shut up, fat boy. We're going to go exploring. So Jack, this other choir boy, Simon, and Ralph decide to go exploring. Before they go, Piggy pulls Ralph aside and it's like, hey, man, just so you know, you fucked me out there by letting everyone know that I'm Piggy. And when I specifically told you, I told you I didn't like that.
I had one rule, man. I had one ask. That's it. We're on this deserted island. I asked for one thing. And I wanted you a clean slate. Me.
Kind of fucked me, bro. Oh. I just need you to know that. And Ralph's like, I kind of did fuck you, but you know what? It's better than Fat Boy. And Piggy's like, not really.
It's really not. So it's at really this not, point, man. Ralph just kind of like swivels, teams up with Jack and Simon, and they start to scout out this island by climbing up the mountain in the middle of it. And they're just doing dude shit all the way up. Like,
oh yeah,
it's just three boys wrestling and tumbling rocks down the hill and just being like goofballs. And it's clear that despite the fact that Ralph and Jack were kind of at odds off the bat over the whole leadership thing, they kind of have like a little bit of a bond almost, where real recognize real in a sense, where they're just kind of like, yeah, I mean, I kind of get you.
They're just kind of out here, bro. Like, they're literally pumped about how they're actually exploring and how this is a deserted island. Maybe no one's ever been here before. They're the first people that are like exploring. That's kind of cool. Who wasn't a small young kid and was just like, I want to go exploring, but it's like a park that's well maintained by, you know, city officials and shit. Now these guys are out here doing it. So when they go exploring, they find a way in through the undergrowth. And like you said, these cliffs are made of like pink granite. Seems pretty cool, to be honest. And, you know, they find this piglet caught in the weeds. And Jack's like, I got a knife. I could kill this thing. And he raises it to kill it. And he like just freezes.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other Simon and Ralph watch him freeze. And he's just kind of like hesitating. And the piglet breaks free and like scurries off and he's gone. Totally gone. And they're just like, you didn't kill it. He's like, yeah, I was looking for a place to start. And he goes, and they're like, but you didn't. He goes, but next time I won't. And Golden knows that, like, all of them know why he didn't strike the pig. He didn't strike it because that's fucking intense, taking a living life, especially like a baby piglet that's like totally helpless. That's probably pretty upsetting. And everyone knows that, but you know, it's not like they have the emotional maturity to be like, hey, man, don't worry, you'll get him next time. And Jack doesn't have the maturity to be like, know what? Totally froze. That was intense. But now that I know what it feels like to at least be in the position, I think I can do it next time. No, they're just like, you didn't do it. And he's like, I'll do it next time. I swear to God. And they're like, you sure, man? Like, they're trying to be standoffish about it. When, as Golding notes, it's a weird moment that you would be okay with them being like, hey man, that was weird.
Yeah. It's a super interesting moment. Cause again, what we're dealing with this entire time is this kind of like duality of these kids dealing with what it's like to be a straight up like survivor / savage in a sense, and also coming from society and civilization and understanding things like, based on what they've seen in the world, we need a leader. We need some sort of hierarchy. We need to be organized to some extent. We need people to have their own roles, this, that, and the other thing. But there are certain things like killing a pig that require a certain brutality that at this point in the story, we've only really seen in boys' inclination to just bully people.
Yeah. The bullying, like you said, is really important. Like you said, everyone picks out Piggy as like a weak one, someone whose voice doesn't need to be heard through literally nothing other than just like the group assumption that he's weak.
Yeah.
It's pretty stark. And, you know, if you've ever been in those like grade school, middle school situations, it's all too common. Kids are just fucking savages, bro.
I know.
And they can find that stuff. But that's kind of where the chapter ends, with them kind of wondering aloud why Jack didn't take the swing and him promising there's not going to be mercy next time.
Yeah. So, I mean, a really, really kind of dramatic opening to this story, a lot going on here. I appreciate the fact that the story opens after the plane crash, because it's just kind of like it throws the reader in without really understanding what's going on. It makes you feel as similar as it probably could be to these boys' situation.
Yeah. And I like that, like a lot of young adult novels, there's the kind of first two pages of world building. And then, like you said, it would start off with the character introduction. But in this one, it's just this fair-haired boy. We don't even learn his name until he has to introduce himself to Piggy.
Right.
And we learn Piggy mentions the atom bomb going off. And then in chapter two, at the very beginning, he mentions that the boys obviously didn't know each other before the evacuation. So it explains why this plane full of people don't know each other. We're left to assume that something bad has happened, probably some type of nuclear war situation. And they just threw a bunch of schoolboys, because they all have mismatching uniforms on a plane just to try to get them out of the country, and flew them somewhere.
Right.
And so that would kind of explain why not really everyone's on the same page, bunch of different ages going on here. And that's kind of where number two picks off. Clearly some messed up shit has happened. Ralph, when they come back, explains that, you know, kind of an all hands meeting, that, you know, they are alone, they're on an island, and they're going to have to just make do.
So at this meeting, this conch shell rule is established, where basically Piggy again comes up with this brilliant idea of saying, all right, it's just madness when we're all around here. Nobody has any kind of authority. Everybody's talking over each other, interrupting each other. So let's come up with this rule where whoever's holding this shell gets to speak. That's the honor of holding the shell. So with that established, Ralph kind of goes through this lowdown of everything they found out. Like, yeah, we're on an island. Things look kind of bleak, potentially. However, there is a silver lining here. And what that is this island is ours. And this is the first time in our life as young boys that we have been complete and total owners of a thing that we can just do with as we'd like. So, plan is, yeah, we'd like to get found and rescued sooner rather than later, but let's kind of enjoy ourselves up until that point.
Yep. And, you know, Piggy, while he is definitely smart and makes a lot of good points, he doesn't have a lot of tact, because Ralph made a speech that was very clearly meant to kind of make everyone's heads cool down, maybe comfort the young kids, say, well, the goal is to get found and rescued. Doesn't mean that we can't spend all of our time having fun, right? We're going to hunt for some pigs. We know there's pigs on the island. You can have fruit. There's all the fruit you could want. It's a tropical beach island. And Piggy's out here like, hey, man, no one knows we're here. They might have known where we took off from and where we were landing, but we're in the middle of there. They have no idea where we are. And while they're kind of going back and forth, maybe establishing some rules, like you said, like they're going to raise their hand to speak and then they get the conch and they're going to be able to talk. Then the younger kids push this little boy with a birthmark on his face because he has something to say. And it's really sad. He describes this little boy as like petrified to speak in public. Like, he's just a 6-year-old kid.
Six.
He's clearly afraid. Yeah.
6 years old, bro. Imagine
just stuck
that.
On a desert island.
He's in preschool.
And he says that there's that in the forest, he saw a snake like beastie. And Ralph is like, well, I bet what you saw was scary. No, this island is too small and could not support a giant snake. There's no snakes. And fucking Jack is out here like, yeah, but if there is a snake, we'd kill it. And Ralph's like, that's not the point, Jack.
Right.
We couldn't kill it because it doesn't exist. Like, clearly trying to just like nip this in the bud right away. And he kind of brings up, it's obvious that the kids are like kind of leaning towards what Jack has to say, that it might exist. And so Ralph can't speak rationally to these kids because they're kids. You can't just be like, no, it doesn't exist. Use your brain, because they're the brains of 6-year-olds.
Yeah.
So you have to be like, What he had was a nightmare in the daytime. You all have nightmares. They're not real. And they're like, oh, yeah, nightmares for sure. For sure.
Yeah, for real. Like, if you basically what's going on here is Ralph is trying to be the adult voice and everyone else is just like an alarmist right now about this thing that likely does not exist. Meanwhile, the real threat here that Piggy is trying to bring up. So the reasonable monster on this island is that they're all gonna fucking die there and not be found. And everyone's like, okay, that's fine. But what we really need to worry about is this snake beast thing that's coming after us in the night.
Yeah, the idea of actual aloneness and the threat that they might have to survive there for an unknown amount of time is so 30,000 foot view that they cannot grasp onto it, not even a little bit. They can only think of the super terrestrial scary snake monster. That's the only thing they can grab onto is something that might be scary to them.
Right. So eventually we kind of put this whole talk of this giant snake thing to bed. But after that, the boys decide, all right, if we are going to get found, one thing that we should do is set a fire and get some smoke going, try to signal somebody to let them know where we are. So again, this is just another moment where Ralph's like, this is what we're going to do. And as soon as he says it, all of the kids are like, fire? That sounds fucking dope. Let's go do that. And everyone just runs like crazy up into the forest. No organization. Nobody knows what's going on. But all these kids just kind of run haphazardly up into the woods. And as they're doing this, they put this wood pile together. They finally like manage to get everybody together. They get this pile of wood put together. And then they're kind of like, all right, so the fire part of this. How are we going to manage that? And people are like, well, you have like a bow and then you like tug the string across it and like friction or something like that.
Yeah, real half-assed. I almost got my survivalist merit badge idea. It's gone.
Yeah. Until someone's like, all right, who's got matches?
Oh, dude, I was so mad when I read that. Like, what do you mean who has matches? These British schoolboys in like their uniform khaki shorts don't have matches, dude.
No shot. And as it turns out, nobody does until someone comes up with the bright idea of taking Piggy's glasses to use as like the magnifying glass effect and start a fire using sunlight. So they basically rip Piggy's glasses off of his face without really asking him and start this fire. Piggy's complaining this whole time, by the way, about how like nobody's really following any kind of orders. All of the rules that they had established about Ralph being a leader and all of that kind of stuff. He's just like, nothing's going well. Like all of this is crazy. You stole my glasses. Good for you. You started a fire. It's not doing what it should be. It doesn't have enough smoke to actually signal anything. Oh, and by the way, as I turn around here, I notice that this fire has kind of like caught onto some of the forest and is burning down half the island.
Yeah, Piggy has a pretty serious tirade. Like you said, you fucking grabbed my glasses. You kind of bent them. You guys are assholes. But also, we didn't build any shelters and now it's dusk.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't help me keep track of the kids. And Ralph's like, well, that was your job. And he goes, what do you mean it was my job, dude? You, Jack, and Simon bailed. And I am dealing with like an unknown amount of like 6-year-olds, essentially like herding cats up in this bitch. Now you've caused a forest fire with all this rotten wood that you threw on the mountain. And Ralph and Jack are like pretty indignant of the idea that they did anything wrong on their dude's rock bonanza up the granite cliffs. And they're trying to get Piggy to stop talking. And Piggy's like, no, I'm not going to stop talking. Because you know what? I have one more question. Where the fuck is that kid with the birthmark? And they're like, oh, well, he was over. And they kind of lazily gesture to the part of the forest that is now fully engulfed in flames.
Right. So we have to assume as readers that that kid has burned to death or has died of some sort of asphyxiation. It kind of leaves us off on like a really somber tone at the end of this chapter, because
it doesn't say explicitly if that kid died in a fire, but it pretty heavily leans to the fact that this kid is no longer with us and the fire is probably responsible for it.
Yeah. Poor kid. I mean, unfortunately, he's already said what he had to about the snake beast thing. So we'll remember him forever through that, because that is not going away.
Being an alarmist child and then dying violently in a fire.
Oh my God. It's really brutal. It's honestly terrible. But chapter two, it's important for a couple reasons, at least to me. One, that we are trying to establish this rule of law with kind of like the conch shell rule and this hierarchy that was established in the first chapter. And all of these ideas, by the way, are coming from Piggy. The other thing is, Piggy was he's the one who gave his glasses to be able to light this fire. So despite what everybody in this clan of dudes thinks about this kid, he has by far been the most useful person in this whole group of guys.
Yeah. He is the only one out here trying to just, you know, keep everything below neck level. Because if not, they're going to descend into madness and it's going to happen faster than they would normally. And he's just out here trying to get everyone to cooperate. And Ralph, to some credit, is also like, I accept the mantle of leadership, but also fire is cool later.
Right.
Like, he's getting swept up in it too, that kind of group mentality. And since they're all kids, they don't have any like attention skills or reasoning. And so Piggy's maturity is just completely lost on everyone. Chapter three, Huts on the Beach. It's clear some time has passed because Jack, while hunting alone, is noted to have much longer hair.
Yes.
Than he did in the past. So safe to say, few weeks have gone by and they're still on the island. Jack is tracking a pig. He's really getting into it, you know, on all fours, sniffing some droppings and checking for tracks. Honestly, no shade. You know, if you're out here hunting a pig and all you have is like khaki shorts and a homemade spear, got to do what you got to do. Good for him for getting into it.
No shade at all. I think it's just an important note that we just saw Jack a couple chapters ago unable to kill a pig that was right in front of him. Mm-hmm. And now we are at the point, like you said, a few weeks later, where Jack is on all fours like an animal himself. Mm-hmm. And there's just this clear kind of transformation from kind of innocent schoolboy to almost this like bloodlust kind of hunter killer thing.
Yeah, he's becoming feral.
Right.
And he wants, like you said, that bloodlust. He wants to kill a pig so bad, and he like fires his spear into the underbrush and a pig like doesn't get hit and misses away. So he blew that hunt up. It's all fucking done. He goes back to the camp where Ralph is like toiling with like palm leaves trying to make a shelter. And he's like, how was the hunt? And Jack's like, didn't get anything. And Ralph's like, okay, dude, we got to have a talk because we've been out on this island for weeks. We've been eating fruit and drinking coconut water and we want some motherfucking meat. You're supposed to be in charge of the hunters. You guys haven't hunted a fucking thing. Your hunters like go out for a couple hours a day and come back and just don't do anything. The kids have no attention spans and are useless at making shelters. And like, I don't know why you guys call yourself hunters if you don't hunt anything. And, you know, they get into this argument. And Jack's like, well, I'm going to do it eventually. And he's like, are you, dude?
Yeah, it's a really, really uncomfortable situation between Jack and Ralph where neither one of them are successful at their assigned task. and they're the only ones who are actually like dedicated to doing those said tasks. And so instead of coming together and being like, all right, what is a better way of wrangling these children, these 6-year-olds, into helping us build and kill pigs? They're like, I'm going to point the finger at you and tell you you're not doing your job well enough. It's like, dude, not a recipe for success.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I noticed with this chapter, so this chapter is super short. It's like 8 pages. Not a lot of actual dialogue goes on, but it's important to note that Ralph and Jack are really the only people who give a shit, because all the hunters don't seem to care and all the little kids don't seem to care. And this is noted where the chapter ends, like the last 5 pages are devoted to Simon, who's supposedly one of the hunters. He kind of like goes off on his own and he just like finds a quiet place on the island under like the roots of a tree and just like sits down, munches on some fruit, listening to like the sound of the birds and watches a couple butterflies. Like, he's cool. He's chilling. The kids don't care. It's just these guys who have assigned leadership responsibility to themselves that are just struggling so poorly.
Yeah. So a lot of things going on there. Cause like you said, the two older boys, Jack and Ralph, are the only ones who care. And we get this theme of like gluttonous selfishness from the other kids, where the only thing they're concerned with is running around, horsing around, and like going through the forest looking for fruit and sleeping the night away. And so, look, I mean, this whole, that really is the whole chapter. And this book has basically been looked at as a, you know, analogy for society at large. Not our society necessarily, but like
capital S society,
right? But more specifically, human nature, and saying like, okay, if people, specifically men, were not raised entirely yet, so like if you take the nurture side out of humanity and you just put nature in little kids on an island, what does humanity really look like? And according to this book, what it looks like is a few of the older kids who have gotten a little bit more of that nurture and who feel like they have some sort of responsibility are tasked with taking care of a bunch of kids who at that age and without any kind of upbringing are only concerned with themselves and like having a good time.
Yeah. And you know, those kids who don't have enough of like experience with humanity, haven't developed a ton of super high functioning brain power, are just kind of resorting to this animal like instinct to just like look for food and take naps.
Right. Yeah.
That's just it. And you know, that, like you said, short chapter, that's where we're going to end today for just a total amount of like actual volume of plot. But you have to say, like, in that time, we've gotten a lot of places. We've established like main characters who we know don't like each other at some level, who just disagree on a number of things from 3 different angles. You have the Ralph side of things, of like the guy who's like kind of reluctantly being the leader, but he's kind of good at it. And he's kind of like our neutral. You have Piggy, who's clearly like not necessarily hated, but just not respected by anyone, who has the best ideas, but he's not getting anywhere because he has like no social skills and people just don't respect him. And you have Jack, clearly a guy who's obsessed with killing a pig. Can't, that's going to go poorly. Yeah. You have to think.
Yeah.
And he is just so, so desirous of looking and feeling strong that it just guides everything that he does. And so, and everyone else around them are just completely at the whim of whoever they feel is in charge in any given moment.
Right.
It's like the Game of Thrones quote, like power lies where men think it lies. And for these kids, like they're not going to do anything unless they feel like the person talking to them has some type of control over them.
Right. And so what I'm wondering, as somebody who hasn't read the book yet, is what is it going to be that rallies these kids together? it, not in the sense that everything's going to work out, but in the sense of like, okay, at some point there's going to be a break where either Ralph or Jack is going to decide a firmer hand is necessary to get these kids to do what I want them to. And I'm just like, that's where I see this going. And I'm just wondering what that is going to be. It might not happen. That's just a hunch. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. We've got a lot more book to read.
We do. And, you know, the whole time you're reading this, you're just thinking, like, what would I do in this situation? And you know what? I find myself looking at Piggy and I'm like, this guy's got a couple of great ideas. I want to build a shelter. I want to figure out what the fuck I'm doing. I have to resign myself to the fact that I might be here for way longer than I want to. So you just have to put all notions of rescue, that's just no longer part of your decision making.
Yeah.
It just can't be, right? Like, these kids really are acting like at any moment vacation's going to be over and dad's going to come and it's going to be okay. And a couple of the older kids seem to kind of be realizing, like, hey, we're going to be here for the long haul. It's time to establish some type of commune, maybe some rules, some type of schedule.
Yeah.
Gotta maintain a fire. Yeah.
One interesting thing that they say is when they're talking about building those shelters, the reason for building them is more than just to shelter from serious rain and weather and the elements. The other thing is, like, we need to put these up to establish a home. And so if you have that shelter and you've built up what is, you know, used as kind of a home base for everybody to return to, then that adds on a little bit to that structure and it gives people a reason to come back and to follow some kind of rules.
And it is funny, like you said, like William Golding is kind of hypothesizing what happens when you take kids who haven't had a lot of nurture and you put them in nature, right? They, at least some of them, are trying to build whatever scraps of society they can.
Yeah.
Whatever amount of communal effort they can scrap together, they're going to use. And he not only says that we need to establish like a home for positive incentives, like these kids continue to have nightmares about snakes and beasts ever since that first kid who may or may not have died in a fire has put in their head. Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead.
He's dead. So Birthmark Boy, may he rest in peace, has incepted in these kids the idea that anytime they see like some type of root or branch that even closely resembles a snake, it's a snake. And so they're having nightmares. And he said, look, if we can just put these kids with like roofs over their heads, it might help.
Absolutely.
Because of, and I think like you said too, where they mentioned like these kids are going to start making decisions based on their fear if we can't control that.
100%. Okay, so what we're doing for the rest of this book is we will be awarding a winner and loser of the section that we read each week. And in the past, it's been Gollum and Smeagol. We've had Old Sport of the Week, et cetera, et cetera. This time we are putting the winner on Good Guy Island and the loser on Bad Lad Island. Mm-hmm. So Cody, who's on your, well, I'll give you the option. Would you like to start with Good Guy Island or Bad Lad Island?
I'll start with Good Guy Island. Good Guy Island for me, it has to be done. It's Piggy.
100%.
The only guy with a brain, like I can't even think of like a joking Good Guy Island move this time. It's just like, I could like probably think of something, I don't know, but it's just him. He's like, hey, gotta have rules. We can't just be running around here like feral animals. It doesn't work, but he's trying.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't think that there's really a second place on this one. I don't even know, like, can you give an honorable mention? I don't know. The only person that I could possibly say is like, look, Ralph, potentially because he accepted this role of leadership and is doing his best, but he's such a dick that you can't put him on Good Guy Island.
No. And what was he going to do? Let Jack turn this into like some type of like tyrannical choir empire? No, you can't let that happen. You just, He didn't take it up because he's a good guy who wanted to take care of these kids. He's like, I don't want that guy in charge of me.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, so we're in lockstep on the good guy island. So bad lad island, for me, all of my arguments for Ralph potentially being on good guy island, I'm going to just contradict myself because he belongs on bad lad island. Look, yes, all the things I said were true, but when you read this book and you see how likable Piggy is, he's just a sweet dude. And the fact that Ralph just throws him under the bus the way he does and makes that first move of being like, look, we are on our own island. We're completely separated from society. But one of the things that really sucks about even civilized life that I'm going to continue here is just being an awful person to other guys. Like, you belong on Bad Lad Island if your first move in total isolation from the world is being like, I'm going to be a dick.
Yeah, and it's different from putting Jack, who also rightfully belongs on Bad Lad Island, but Ralph is a better choice because he was given opportunities to not be a dick. Like, Jack's just an asshole. Yeah. Established very well, turning feral, has a very large amount of bloodlust boiling underneath the surface. It's not great. However, Ralph had every opportunity to kind of pivot into being a good guy, and he's just actively choosing not to because of apathy or because his emotional intelligence isn't developed enough. Again, we are dealing with children, literal children.
Right.
So it's hard to do that. I agree with you. Ralph is my choice for Bad Lad Island. However, I would also say the pilot who crashed him in the island.
Great choice. Great choice.
Maybe don't crash the plane.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, like, I don't know if we have a super clear idea of how that plane went down, but come on, guy, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
So I love that. The other thing is like, okay. Birthmark boy, huge L this week for scaring literally everybody with the boogeyman of islands and finding your way into a forest fire.
You know what? I'm not gonna pile on my dude, Birthmark Boy, mostly because he is six and just got scared. He has very recently been marooned on a desert island or jungle island. And he probably misses his family, probably his parents. And because of the negligence of those who were charged with taking care of him, he died in a fire. So I think, you know, all those L's, that's enough for him. Birthmark boy, didn't deserve that.
May he rest in peace forever and ever. And maybe he got lucky and died early and didn't have to deal with the rest of whatever goes on this island. So we'll find out. You know what? Out.
Maybe he did get eaten by a snake. Huge vindication moment for our guy.
Okay.
What's better? Getting eaten alive by a snake or dying in a fire?
What would you rather? Oh my God. Okay. Personally, oh my God, that's a tough question. Because, like, if you get eaten by a snake, you're literally getting digested alive, right? Like, you're not dead when you go in, right?
You might not be.
I think I'd want to get caught in a fire because you're probably just, like, inhaling smoke and dying that way first, right?
Yeah, I'd probably just try to pass out before the flames get me, yeah.
Oh, my God. Brutal.
Again, these kids do not understand the intense danger they are in. Piggy's out here trying to be like, we are on a island and we need rules so we don't die. And everyone's like, take his glasses, start a fire.
Oh my gosh, Piggy, I'm really hoping that you are vindicated at some point. Something tells me you won't be, but we will find out in the coming episodes. Okay. Again, if we missed anything, if you'd like to add anything, let us know. You can email the pod at bibliotakes@gmail.com. So send in whatever submission. We might read it at the end of next episode. Next week, we are doing the next three-ish chapters. And yeah, I'm excited to get into it. Cody, do you have anything else you want to add?
That's it.
All right, cool. Well, this has been another edition of the Bibliotakes podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. It means the world to us, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks a bunch.